Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with a goal of informing and motivating listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 5 regional stations, as well as 4 additional stations in Virginia. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. We sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support of any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support us in this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale.
Go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donate button or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're having a conversation with Florida District 32 House of Representative member Anthony Sabatini. Congressman Sabatini, we're so delighted that you've taken time. Our previous caller, just before the news break, was asking the question about the corollary or perhaps corollary between the Pfizer vaccination and his kidney failure. And we touched on it briefly. I'm going to wrap up that loose end for a moment. But in all of my research and study, and I've done about several hundred hours on that, and Tom is still hanging on our caller, but I've done several hundred hours of research on that subject, and my personal findings, based on the scientific data, the virologists that have done the studies and the research reports, that I could answer that personally without being a medical profession, that I believe there's a definite corollary to it. Myocarditis and pericarditis, which is a inflammation around the heart, has been one of the major findings of the side effect of the COVID vaccinations. We've had about somewhere in the neighborhood of 650,000 injuries as a result of the vaccination and some 73,000 deaths as a direct result of the vaccination. So I personally do not recommend it to any human being on the face of God's green earth. Tom, does that answer your question?
Yes, it does. Thank you, Dr. Youngblood.
Thank you so much, and have a blessed day. Congressman, we've got a couple other things that we want to talk about quickly. I know your time is extremely limited today, but on Senate Bill 4 and House Bill 3, the public records exemption related to employer termination for vaccine. Tell us about that bill and the efficacy of that bill, and then we'll take our next caller.
Sure, I will tell you, I only have a couple minutes left. I can think I can do about 3 more minutes, and then I have to jump on another call. But I will tell you that public records exemption bill is probably the least significant of the four, but basically what it does is it makes it takes out of the public record the complaints people make about these companies and about these people that are violating the law. So if I made a complaint about Disney doing vaccine mandates and I sent it to the state of Florida, the state of Florida would not be able to, you know, somebody couldn't do a FOIA request and Sunshine Law request and see that I made that complaint, then, you know, because that would encourage Disney to retaliate against me if that occurred. So it's kind of a big deal.
Tell us then briefly about House Bill 5, the begin to withdraw from OSHA.
That bill is kind of a fake bill. Unfortunately, I want to withdraw from OSHA and really drop a hammer on it and come up with our own regime. But basically all that bill does is it says we're tasking the governor with the job of coming up with a plan on coming up with a different version of OSHA that would be run by the state. The problem is, based on the federal statute, that plan has to be as strong as the normal federal OSHA, and it has to have OSHA's approval. So unless you're really going to go straight 10th Amendment and just nullify OSHA and say we're ignoring OSHA and we don't give a damn, unfortunately you're stuck with a regime of laws that's almost the same. So it's kind of a weird bill. I voted for it because I'm okay with the idea of coming up with a plan, but it doesn't actually get us out of OSHA.
OSHA, prior to you leaving us today, got a caller on the line. Greg wants to ask you a question. Greg, go ahead with your question, please.
I just would like for you to tell us about your view of China. Do you view China as an ally or an adversary, both militarily as well as economically? Obviously, this Wuhan flu has created a lot of stir, but we have 40 years of history with China and the way we've enriched them, and they've harmed us in many ways. But how do you view China, ally or adversary?
They are absolutely an adversary. They're a terrible, tyrannical regime that seeks to displace us as a world power. But I will tell you, it's going to be very easy to break free of China if it was up to China and the American citizens. The problem is that one of the biggest threats to this country is the American globalist elite who run this country, the regime, the ruling regime of our own country, which seeks to disempower us as a country and become more dependent upon China. So China, the threat of China is increased by the leftist regime that runs our own nation, which wants to be soft on China and actually increase the destruction of our economic sector and becoming more dependent upon them as a supplier and distributor. And so that's very harmful. And until we get serious leaders who want to be tough on China like Donald Trump did, then we're going to continue to be in a more adversarial posture with them because they are going to continue to gain on us in terms of manufacturing. So it's time for tariffs on China. It's time to fight back and not allow the offshoring of our jobs to China. And it'll be a tough thing to do, but right there, they're not an ally. They're a massive adversary.
Greg, hang in there for a few more moments. Congressman, before we let you go, tell us about your election ideas and your plans for election to the U.S. House, how people can reach you, how they can contact you, if they desire to, how they can contribute to your election campaign, and what we need to do to assist you in that process.
I'm Anthony Sabatini, state representative in Central Florida, but I'm running for U.S. Congress, District 7 in North Central Florida. You can find out more at sabatiniforcongress.com or follow me on any social media platform from Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, LinkedIn, Getter, Signal, Telegram, or whatever it is that you use. Check me out and, hope to earn your support. Thank you for having me on.
Congressman, thank you so much for being with us today, and we'll be praying for your success in that election process. Looking forward to the good results in that. Thank you so much for being with us today. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. I believe Greg is still on the line. Greg, tell us your position on some of the things that you heard the congressman say in relationship to the special legislative session. And based on what he said, would you call it a successful legislative session, or is it just simply blasé?
Well, when your representatives are oftentimes rhinos, it's not as good as it could have been. I am thankful for Representative Sabatini's good work, and I pray that he does well in the U.S. House. However, the enemies are often within. We saw 13 folks jump fence in the U.S. Congress voting for this rubbish that they passed off as an infrastructure bill, and we're going to continue to see things like that so long as we continue to elect rhinos. However, if we can have a free and fair election for 2022, which is highly in doubt, highly, highly in doubt after the 2020 fiasco in some of these larger blue-controlled cities that changed rules last minute and, I believe, cheated. However, if we're able to have a free and fair election, I believe we're going to see a totally different makeup of the U.S. Congress, and that hopefully would stifle the craziness out of the White House. By the way, today is an interesting day. I understand a little later today, is it today? Biden will be under anesthesia. So briefly, the 25th Amendment will be invoked, and Harris will technically be in charge. So y'all just pray that Biden does well, because as much as I think he's become a radical leftist that used to be a moderate centrist, understand Harris is a nut bar. She would fall right in line 110% with the AOC Bernie Sanders crowd, and that's close to what we have today. But y'all just pray that Biden does well. I never thought I'd be praying that prayer, but pray that Biden does well this surgery.
Absolutely.
Now
I'm in agreement with that. Greg, you are familiar with the barbaric, inhumane, unconstitutional practice for most medical facilities today. And for the benefit of our listeners, I'm going to recap some of the things you're already aware of. I'm going to ask you a pertinent question about that. Several months ago, in fact, the early part of this year, I had the sad privilege of trying to visit a 91-year-old man in a nursing home. His wife is a member of the church. The pastor could not come in. I could not go in. Right now, across America, hospitals, medical facilities, nursing homes will not allow a pastor or a priest to go in and visit a loved one that's in the hospital, perhaps because of family connections or because of ministerial connections, but yet the pastor or the priest not allowed at all to go in and visit that loved one. That is barbaric. That's inhumane. That 91-year-old man that was in a local nursing home, already started the onset of dementia, screaming and hollering as loud as he could every day, every awakened moment. Where is my wife? Where is my family? Why have I been abandoned? Why have they abandoned me? He died believing that his family had abandoned him. Recently, we had the unfortunate scenario where a 61-year-old Navy veteran died with a ventilator stabbed down his throat in one of the local hospitals. His wife was not allowed to visit him at all until the last moments or hours of his life when they saw that he was dying and no return of any health factor. Then they said, you can come in and visit him. And you're familiar with your brother, our son, 56 years old, that 61 days was tortured in the medical facility in Virginia. Yet family members could not go in and see him and visit him under the cover or under the guise that he had COVID, pneumonia, and therefore it might spread. But Greg, my question is that I want us to elaborate on a moment for the benefit of our listeners. If you can go in at the last few minutes and just put on your COVID garment, if you will, and or a mask and a shield, why can't you do that before the last minutes of life? If the doctors and the nurses can go into a hospital unit and visit a patient and treat a patient that has COVID and they simply have their PPE on, that's protective garments on, why can't we as the parents or as the loved ones or as the priest and pastors, why can't we do the same thing? What is your view on that? And I'm asking the question because we're going to talk about, after you've answered that, what we have done in trying to get legislation passed in the spring semester of the new year. Speak to that issue. Is it inhumane? Is it unconstitutional? Is it something that we should be concerned about? Is it something that our listeners should just simply say, well, that's what the medical facilities call for, and we need to adhere to that? What should we do? What should our view be?
Well, there needs to be a legislative remedy, as Representative Sabatini brought up with other things. There needs to be recourse within the law when an individual is separated. We've seen this since the beginning of this Wu flu, this COVID. You have hospitals that have completely separated family members, those advocates, those spiritual and emotional supporters, separated them, and I think it's for evil, wicked intentions and purposes. They are denying the right to try of family members over the phone. You see folks video calling, begging and crying and pleading on behalf of their family, and family members just, you know, incapacitated and completely in the control of these supposed medical professionals, one after another, doing nothing but following the 200 whatever page CDC protocol. That's centralized control that killed, you know, tens of millions of people in the last century. The notion that some bureaucrat in D.C. has all the answers and they can write the rules and everybody has to jump through the hoops, that's absurd. That's not practicing medicine. That sounds more like, you know, Nazi Germany's, you know, Dr. Mengele and the experiments, the notion that we can do these horrible things to folks and then deny access to family members and to pastors and to priests the opportunity to come in and give that emotional support, that moral support, that spiritual support, and that advocacy on behalf of the patient, many times a family member. I am going to have to go, but I really appreciate your stand. I appreciate Representative Sabatini's stand, and I'm glad he was on the air with you today. But thank you all, and have a great day.
Greg, thank you so much for joining us on the issues of today. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about today COVID mandate versus our Constitution. I believe, as for the most part, as U.S. citizens, we have simply viewed the Constitution as being a non-entity, and somehow, some way, we have the feeling that we need to simply disengage because, after all, if these political leaders on a state, local, state, or national level have said we can do these things. I believe, ladies and gentlemen, for the most part, our listening audience and others beyond have come to the conclusion that somehow, some way, then we must be mistaken. It must not be a constitutional violation, but it absolutely is. And ladies and gentlemen, when we find these things taking place, and as a pastor, I can't go in and visit you or a loved one or a church member when you're in the hospital. There's something wrong with that picture. I have had the privilege of talking with Senator Bean, Aaron Bean, a senator here in the state of Florida. He's termed out this year. But Senator Bean has agreed this session, this particular elected cycle, he's termed out. But he's agreed to introduce legislation in the spring in the legislative session that will make it illegal for any health institution, for any medical institution, to forbid a pastor, a priest, or a loved one being able to visit their loved one in the hospital. He will make it illegal to do so. It is simply a barbaric, inhumane treatment that I think ought to be made illegal. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. If you'd like to jump in the dialogue and discussion on what Anthony Sabatini, Congressman Sabatini, has said, or what our listeners have called in and said, please feel free to do so. I'm looking at an article here that says, inhumane, lethal COVID protocol in hospitals. The article states in part, it is in a shocking departure from traditional hospital policy. Admission to a hospital has become like reporting to prison. Prisoners in American jails have more visitation rights than do COVID patients in America's hospitals. I believe that is inhumane, unconstitutional, and barbaric. I believe we have John on the line. Go over the question or comment, please.
Yes, Dr. Youngblood, awesome, the guest that you've had on. I received something yesterday. It's a facility that I go to on a regular basis, and it says that their new mask mandate is when you come in the facility, if you have not been vaccinated, we recommend that you wear a mask. And people that have been vaccinated, they do not have to wear a mask. What do you think about that? It makes it a little uncomfortable for me. I'm not going to wear a mask when I go in, but it's just I know that that's not going by what their guidelines are, but I just, anyway, my beliefs, them wearing people that have worn a mask, people have had vaccines, they've all gotten COVID. So I'm sorry, go ahead.
My belief and my position is, John, hang the protocol and the suggestions or the recommendations. By the way, most door signs says mask recommended, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Or if you've had fully vaccinated with COVID, I'm going in without a mask. If you tell me you don't want me in your facilities, I'm going to leave. But I'm not going to put the mask on. I'm not going to play pretend that somehow, some way the mask protects you. And they have no right, no authority on a local, state, or national level to ask me anything about my medical records. If someone says, have you had the COVID vaccination, I turn to them and say, do you have AIDS? I have the same right to ask them if they have AIDS or some other communicable disease as they have the right, if any, to ask me, have I been COVID vaccinated? So that's my position on it. I think it's unconstitutional, and it breaks the HIPAA law and regulation on a federal level, but yet it's being practiced by medical facilities across America today. I am delighted to see some physicians taking a stand and simply saying, no, we're not going to adhere to your demands and requirements. I'm looking at an article here. It says, God bless you, colon. See familiar cheers, family and familiar cheers to a doctor suing the hospital for ivermectin ban. Dr. Paul Marvick arrives at the courthouse in Norfolk, Virginia on November the 18th, 2021, to ask for an order allowing him to treat his COVID patients with ivermectin. A physician who also is a medical school professor is suing a hospital for banning him from prescribing the drug ivermectin for his COVID-19 patients. Dr. Paul Marvick of Eastern Virginia Medical School is under contract with the Central Norfolk General Hospital, where he is the director of ICU. On Thursday, he arrived at the Norfolk, Virginia courthouse, where supporters cheered him and chanted his name and held signs. One sign told of a husband now in ICU with COVID-19 who is being denied treatment with ivermectin and a husband who died, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And he goes on to talk about, and this doctor says he is sad to see this taking place. He said, I think it's criminal. I think it's criminal. It's immoral. It's illegal. It's unconstitutional to tell a doctor that he cannot write a prescription for a medical remedy that could cure their illness, disease, and or potential death. So you're exactly right. That's my position. And there are a lot of folks that will say, well, you know, we need to obey what the door signed. No, we don't. If it is unconstitutional, inhumane, barbaric, or is illegal, we ought not to obey it. It is, the scripture is very, very clear. Well, Peter said we ought to obey God rather than man. I believe it's time Christians stand up and grow a backbone, and conservatives grow a backbone, patriots grow a backbone, and say we're not going to bow and bend to the mandate that's going to destroy our health and that is unconstitutional and illegal in America. But thank you so much, John. I believe we have Jim on the line. Go over the question or comment, please.
Dr. Youngblood, thank you for taking my call.
Thank you for calling today. Delighted to have you.
Yes, sir. I agree with what you just said 100%. Anyway, back to hospitals and not allowing loved ones in there. It's completely barbaric. We've had diseases in the past, as recently as the 50s and 40s, that are much more lethal, and polio being one of them. No hospital would ever deny the loved ones to be there. Even smallpox, it wasn't eradicated till the 70s, but the lethality of smallpox is 30%. And yet, you know, you could, with certain precautions, still see your family members if they were in the hospital. This is all political. This is all done from guidelines from the CDC. This Dr. Fauci there, I remember his thing back in the 80s there where we were going to catch HIV from sitting on toilet seats. That man had everybody in a panic back then, and he's doing the same playbook. Nothing's changed.
Same thing. I don't know if you watched the video. There's a pretty good video clip on Facebook, and I don't know how long it'll be there, and I assume you can find it in other places. I'm not a Facebook fan, but my bride happens to have a Facebook account, and we pulled it up this morning and watched it where Jim Jordan is interrogating some of those in relationship to Emperor Fauci and what he's done. In fact, you can go back and trail with the email trail that they have that's now been discovered of Fauci's. The email trail proves that Fauci not only knew, but he was a co-conspirator in the CCP, the Communist Chinese Communist Party, in the development of COVID-19. He is a known perpetrator of that. And my personal opinion, he ought to be executed for mass murder. That's my position on it, because that's exactly
what tried for war crimes.
Jim Jordan and his questioning has proven. Go ahead and say again.
At least war crimes. I mean, this is a clear violation of the Nuremberg Codes.
Absolutely.
You can't mandate somebody to do, you know, something like this unless it's on a voluntary basis. This is not voluntary. I've already caught COVID, but I'm not getting the vaccine.
I've had COVID also, and it's been proven that those that have had COVID are simply about 27% more immune than others that have had the jab. And so my position is that I'm going to do what I feel is best for my physicality and best for my body, best for my family, notwithstanding what some arbitrary, capricious, tyrannical tyrant in a governing office might say that we need to do. And those that are in the elitist upper crust that feel that we need to do to become the, quote, tyrants that control the nation, and i.e. the world. But thank you so much, Jim, for your call.
Thank you.
I believe we have another caller on the line. Go over the question or comment, please.
I mean, it's sad to see how wicked and how low this fake administration is going. They're going to lift those restrictions on religious organizations. Remember the ladies or the poor somewhere in the West Coast that they sued the government and they won the case because they didn't want their nuns, the Catholics, and they don't want to support abortion. Well, this clown is trying to lift those restrictions that were given by the Trump administration. So now they can force those Catholics, hospitals and clinics to perform abortions. I mean, this is insane. The same thing with the some of the vaccines in some of the states. I guess there were some flaws in the law that President Trump never touched and never messed with it. Well, this clown is going to mess with it. Now he's going to force everybody to go on the mandate to have the vaccines. I mean, if there's any Christian out there listening and they think that this administration is looking out for the Christians, you're going to have a rude awakening. These people is anything but Christians. They are anything on the opposite. They are wicked, vile, and evil. And we have to pray for this administration. It's crazy what's going on, brother. That's my comment.
Jose, you're exactly right, brother. Thank you for that. In fact, it was Tony Perkins that said out of all of the 83 executive orders that Joe Biden has instituted, that over 60% of them are against faith, against family, and against the freedoms of freedom-loving people in America. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, if the COVID vaccine were as good as they claim that it is, as efficacious as they pretend that it is, then why would they ask the courts to allow them to seal all of their records, all of their investigatory work for 55 years? Yes, you're right. Here's the article. FDA asked the courts for 55 years to fully release Pfizer COVID-19 vaccine data. The Food and Drug Administration, the FDA, asked the federal judge on November the 15th to give it until the year 2076 to fully release the documents in its possession tied to the approval of Pfizer BioNTech vaccination for COVID-19. The FDA's request was made in filling a part of the Freedom Information Act, FOIA, lawsuit by Medical Transparency Group. The government told the court it has 329,000 pages of documents responsive to the FOIA request and proposed releasing 500 pages per month to allow the redaction of external or extreme material. At that rate, FDA would fully release the records in question in just under 55 years. If they didn't have something to hide, why they wanted to cover it, sequester it, seal it away from the public for 55 years? That's my question. Ladies and gentlemen, here's an article that we'll look at briefly before our broadcast closes today. How hospitals kill our loved ones and conceal it. The title above is not quite complete. The full title for this piece is How Hospitals Conspire to Kill Our Loved Ones and Conceal It, Even from Themselves. And it goes on to talk about the fact that they ask doctors questions. They keep family members from being present at all times. This article says, be ready to say no to any procedure that your doctor or the hospital might say. And he says, by all means, be with your loved one in the hospital. Never leave that alone. Ladies and gentlemen, we're faced with a demonic delusion. We're faced with that which I believe is a demonic conspiracy on a global basis to destroy humanity, to carry out the eugenics program of destroying the population. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us on this broadcast today. Looking forward to meeting you once again as we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located 1/2 mile south of I-295. FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 9:45 p.m., for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study. Prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in the same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard in its entirety 9 p.m. on 100.3 FM and 93.3 HD3. You're also invited to tune in Sunday mornings at 8 a.m. on Talk 100.3 for expository preaching. Tune in and invite others to listen.